Praise the Lord. That helps, don't it? Hallelujah. Now can you hear me? All right. Praise the Lord. Good to see everybody. Didn't you enjoy those two singing? Reminisce. Can I reminisce? That's what old people do. Rhonda was born when Judy and I pastored here, when we lived right down here. And I'll never forget, we was driving around one day, and Judy said, "I feel kind of funny. Let's go over to the hospital." And the doctor came out and said, "You're going to have a baby." And I said, "No, not today. We're in Bible school." And he said, "No, you're going to have a baby tonight. I said, "No, you didn't hear me. I'm the pastor. And we're not having a baby this week. We're in Bible school." Guess what? We had a baby. It was Rhonda. She was here with Taylor. Taylor's my granddaughter. Some smart aleck, they sang last night for Charlie. He preached out in Barberville. And some smart aleck from my church said, "Well, I guess she doesn't get her talent to sing from you." And I wanted to post back and said, "No, they get their looks from me." So I don't think that's probably true either, do you? I want you to turn to me tonight if you've got a Bible with you, and if you don't, that'll be fine. And I welcome all the folks who are listening by whatever way, radio station or Facebook Live, and a lot of different places. We've tried to get out some advertisement. And I love Tim and his wife. They mean a lot to me. Tim got his call from God when he was at Camp Jubilee, and he's doing a great job as your pastor here. And when I look out and see all these cars here, when I first knew that God had called me to preach, and I had not admitted it, I'd go down to our little family cemetery and I'd preach to the tombstones. So I've really come after 40, 50 years. I'm up to preaching to cars now. So this is the strangest day I've ever been in, isn't it you? We're having a lot of fun at our church with drive-in like you all are. And what's real funny about it to me is we broadcast over a AM station, and it's about 15 seconds behind. So those who can hear me will say on the radio, they'll start amen and blinking lights and honking horns, and 15 seconds later it comes through the internet on Facebook Live, and then they'll start honking. And so I have to wait for almost a minute for everybody to shut up so I can go to my second point. But I'm excited to be here tonight. Charlie Shear, he's in the audience, and that'll give me an opportunity to tell some funny stories. Because I did hear, Charlie, that as you're a professor at Clear Creek, that you used me for an illustration lately and shared a story in the classroom. And I thought it'd be payback for you tonight since you're here. I'll tell a story that I know you hate, and that'll make me number one in his life. Amen. I want you to look with me, Luke chapter 12. Verse 13, one of the company said unto him, "Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me." He said unto him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" He said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." He spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruit? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barn and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God." Father, we love you. I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight. I pray you'd challenge those who are listening and those who are right here in the parking lot. And Lord, I pray you bless this church, and I pray you bless this revival, and bless this wonderful pastor and his family. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As you who are here will know, I pastored here, and Rhonda was born here. And then later on, Charlie pastored here, and Rhonda. And that was a wonderful time in our life, because we live at that time at the farm and the camp, which is about 11 miles from here. So you all have got this little hill over here, which is perfect for canceling church. Because when it snows, the sun never hits that little hill. And so you have to cancel church. And so pieces and you put them back together. And when I read this text, I think about that game of Monopoly, because that's life. And if there's anything that's taught us something about life, for me it's been the last 4 weeks. Because in the last 4 weeks I've seen that a lot of things in priority in life was nothing like what I thought it was. You don't have to have all the things you thought you had to have. And you don't have to go all the places you thought you had to go, because you've been home. And the one thing I have missed has been church. I can't wait for this to get over. And I'm going to rub it in a little bit on you Virginia folks. I do believe we'll be back before you all, because we'll have a governor, hopefully, who's going to let us go by the end of next week, and we'll start working our way back in. At least that's my plan on that. And I hope we do, and I'm looking forward to that. But meantime, what I've learned out of this text and out of what we've been going through for the last month or so is that we need to learn to base our life not on things that are in this world, but on things that are not temporal but eternal. I mean, we just need to have our mindset on eternity. And we need to realize that nothing in this world we're going to take with us. We're not going to take our houses or our cars or our money or our bank accounts. We're just not going to take anything with us. There are two things in life I wish I'd have thought of in Patton. I wish I'd have thought of bottling water. I can't believe every time I pay $1 or $2 for a bottle of water that I'm buying water. That shouldn't be. I wish I'd have thought of that first. The other thing, I wish I'd have thought of storage buildings. That's the coolest business I've ever seen. Pour a little slab of concrete and put up some tin walls and charge them $50 a month, and they put about $25 worth of junk in there, and then if you leave, you can sell it. So that I wish I'd have thought of that. But that's where we are. That's what we are. We have so much stuff, so much junk, that we don't have room for it. We've got to have a place rented to put it there, and that's sort of where they are. I love the idea. Folks ask me all the time when I do funerals, well, Brother Ronnie, what was that guy worth? Well, you know, what he is worth depends on the value system. You know, I may look here and your cars may be expensive, but you may not be worth much. Or you may have a poor car and be worth a lot. It depends on your value system. You know, I've had friends that I thought was very wealthy, but when they died, I found out they had a lot of money, but they didn't have anything else. You know, I had a friend of mine die who'd never spoken to his granddaughter. She was 19 years old. And I want to tell you, the joy of my life was having Rhonda and Taylor on this platform tonight. That's worth more than anything I've got. It's worth more than my houses and my land and all of that stuff. But see, some folks base life on what you've got. Well, it's not what you've got here that's important. It's what you've got over there. It's what you've laid forward on the other side. Now, this man said, I've got barns and I've got so much stuff. What I'm going to do is I'm going to tear down these barns. I'm going to build bigger barns to cover up all of my stuff. Let me remind you what the Bible says. In Psalms chapter 49, verse 10, for he seeth that wise men likewise the foolish, and the brutish person perish, and they leave their wealth to another. I love my family. You know, I have two daughters and a son-in-law and a grandchild, a granddaughter, and two of those were on this platform with me tonight. And Charlie and I have always picked on each other a lot. When we go out to eat, I always want to pay for everything, and now they've both got good jobs, and I want them to pay for everything. But years ago, Charlie was trying to pay for something, and I was trying to pay because I felt like I should. And then he's always, because he's a self-made kind of guy, and he wants to pay for everything. And so I said to him one day, I said, Charlie, you need to let me pay for it now, because I'm not leaving you anything. And the other day, Charlie asked me, he said, how much debt do you have? I think he's worried he's going to have to pay off what I've charged already, and I'm going to leave it with him. Can I just remind you guys, life is not like that. It's not about that. It's not about it. 1 Timothy 6 and 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and certain we're going to take nothing with us. So if anything you've learned out of this pandemic, we ought to learn that life is not based on things, but life is based on eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Moses and his story, and I love Amram and Jochebed. Mother's Day is coming up in 3 or 4 weeks, and I love to preach on Amram and Jochebed. That's Moses' parents, and they put something into him that the University of Babylon couldn't get out of him. what they trained him with and what they did with him. And he said, he made this statement. Moses said, I choose to suffer the afflictions with God's people than to have all the wealth of Egypt. Boy, what a mom and dad that poured into that child. Secondly, in verses 20 and 21, it's not just basing your life on eternity, but it's investing in God's stuff. Here he uses an interesting term. He says that you become rich toward God. Well, how do you get rich toward God? Well, you get rich toward God, number one, by getting saved. You can't get rich toward God if you're not his child. And so you get saved. But just getting saved is not enough. You know, I'm sort of tired of the generation that just thinks, boy, if I just barely get saved and I just make it to heaven, everything's going to be all right. No, that's not what it's about. When we get saved, we're to give our life to God. We're to invest everything we've got, our cars, our houses, our family, our money, our income, our time. We're to invest that into God's stuff and wait for God's applause and God's approval of what we're doing. We invest in the things of God. And if we don't do that, then we act like a foolish person. Then there's a third thing, and this convicts me, and it ought to convict all of us. And that is that we need to learn to bring our loved ones to heaven with us. I love this text. It says some interesting things here. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, not rich for God. And what he begins with here about verse 13, he says to Jesus, he says, Master, would you come and speak to my brother? Because I want my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Now, what that means was they had an inheritance, and he was mad at his brother because he wanted everything that was his. You know, I find that a lot of folks are not as interested in their family as they are something mom and dad had. Have you never heard of a flea market? You can go to a flea market and buy an old skillet and get one just like your mama had and don't fall out with your family. You know, that's the craziest thing I ever seen. Folks, when we go to heaven, we ought to take our brothers, our sisters, our moms, our dads, our children, our aunts, our uncles, our nephews, our cousins. We ought to be concerned. And if there's ever a time that we've got it to do it, it's now. While we're locked down in quarantine at home, you've got time to call them. You've got time to get right with them. You've got time to ask them, do they know Jesus, and pray for them. And try to get them in the kingdom of God. That's what we need to do. The last words that my dad ever said to me was, if I'd have gotten saved young, I'd have led your brother to the Lord. Ronnie, when you come home, bring your brother with you. 6 years later, the last word my mama said, Ronnie, when you come home, be sure you bring Wayne with you. And I spent 15 years trying to win my brother to the Lord. And I remember when mom died and we divided up the stuff. I said to my wife, I said, Judy, when we go down there to divide up mom's stuff today, I want to do it this way. And Judy said, honey, it's your stuff. Do whatever you want to. I said, I want to just say, Wayne, you can have it all. And I walked in. I said, Wayne, you have anything in here? I just want one thing for sure for you to have. And I gave him mama's Bible. I said, I want you to have this Bible. And you all know the story. I won my brother to the Lord after I left here in a meeting, and we drove down to camp that night. And there in the middle, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I got on my knees, and I said to God, God, I need to tell you something. I'm coming home, and I'm bringing Wayne with me. Would you tell Mom and Dad? Listen to me. Listen to me. That's what we need to do. We need to be winning people to Jesus and influencing our family and our friends into the kingdom of God. Then there's a fourth thing here. I'm not going to preach real long tonight. Y'all will be blessed by that. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get my church to go back to church. They're sort of enjoying the cars. I had preachers visiting with me Sunday, Tim, and they said, boy, we like this. We got our coffee right here. We still got on our pajamas, and we've not cleaned up. And so I'm not real sure I'm going to get them out of the parking lot. I may have to continue having drive-in church for a while. And they're not in a hurry because we're having a time in the parking lot. You can just feel the Spirit of God, and I feel it here tonight. But then number four, and I want you to get this, we need to learn to build relationships that last forever. You know, I can look around on these front rows. I can see you, and I can see some of you at a distance on the back. And a lot of you was here when I was here in the 70s. I don't know what that says about you, but might say you're a little older than you want to admit that you are. But I know a lot of you, and a lot of you are my friends. And can I remind you, Tim, and others, the friendship that we've got doesn't stop here. Excuse me, I'm about to jump off this wagon when I think about that. Can I tell you that when I die, I'm just going to pick up the friendship, your daddy, I'll see him again on the other side. Hallelujah. Your in-laws, your grandfather, I'll see him on the other side. Are you all with me? Do you understand? We build a relationship in Jesus Christ that doesn't stop here. When we breathe our last breath here, we just pick up and start on the other side. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Isn't that good news? And I want to win some more, and I want to influence some more. Boy, I want to just stop and pray. I'm not going to preach long. I've sure enjoyed preaching, Tim. Thank you for letting me come. Guys, I want to encourage you, if you're quarantined, if you're locked in, or even if you're not, do your best to pray for somebody and pray for your church and try to call up somebody and tell them that you love them and that God loves them and that God loves them enough that he sent his son Jesus to die a horrible death on the cross. And Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead, and he's alive today. And because of that, the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I had a boy saved Sunday, Pastor. Do you know that? I did. A little boy come out, young boy. And he said, Preacher, I prayed that prayer. A little prayer like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I need to be saved. I thank you for saving me now. Lord, I praise you. I don't know everybody's heart who's here, everybody's heart who's listening. God, I pray you draw them to you. And if there's one that doesn't know you, I pray they'd be saved. Lord, I pray you bless the preachers that are going to follow in this revival. And I thank you for what I've heard and what I've felt and just the experience of being here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Tim, you got anything to say?
No, sir.
We're done. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank y'all for coming.